We've got a great show for you today, but before we launch into it, here's a word from our sponsor, Naira Bets. This year's Kentucky Derby is wide open, and there's lots of money to be made. One place you must bet the Derby is with Naira Bets. Naira Bets is giving new players a free $25 Derby win bet. If your horse gets second or third, you get your cash back. Don't miss this limited free $25 bet offer from Naira Bets. Sign up today with the promo code MONEY25 at NairaBets.com and get your free $25 Derby bet today. If you want to have some help signing up for your Naira Bets account and you can't get to the track, come see me, Peter Thomas Fornatale, hosting this Derby party at Treadwell Park West on 42nd Street in Manhattan on Saturday. We start at about 2 o'clock. Come on by. It's sponsored by Naira Bets and NairaBets.com.
Here I am, and in the city.
Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets Late Pick 5 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatale, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker for a very special edition. This third Naira Bets show we're doing is going to be very different than what you've heard so far and different than what you're going to hear in the future because it's the Kentucky Derby, and as we know, the Kentucky Derby just takes all the oxygen out of the room. That's not quite true. With as much time as there is between races on Derby Day, there are other tracks to be paying attention to, and Belmont certainly should be at the top of the list. And in fact, at the end of this show, JK and I will take a quick look at the Saturday Naira Bets Late Pick 5, but the first three guests we're going to have are here to talk about the Kentucky Derby, and the first one is a guest unlike any we've ever had before. Off air, I jokingly called him a degenerate meteorologist, but in real life, he's a wildfire researcher. He is horse player Marshall Sterling. Marshall, how are you today?
I'm well, PTF. And yourself?
Things are good. I mean, Derby chaos that threw us for an absolute loop last night about Omaha Beach. We went ahead and did a quick emergency podcast on that topic. But we have our Naira show, and I'm super excited to get an opportunity to talk to you about what the conditions are going to be on the ground, Marshall. What can we expect in terms of this weather, and what's your degree of confidence about what we're going to see weather-wise?
Yeah, so I went to school for meteorology. I have my bachelor's degree in meteorology, and then got my master's down at Michigan State. So when it comes to the weather for Derby, it looks like I would fully expect the rain to start probably around 6 a.m. or so in the morning, and be very consistent, you know, very steady kind of gray and gloomy day pretty much all day. I actually don't see the rain actually ending until probably early Sunday morning.
Ugh, that is not music to my ears. I didn't introduce him properly at the beginning of the show. I'll blame Derby chaos, but we have with us here the People's Champion, Jonathan Kinchin. JK, when you hear that weather forecast, how does it make you change what you were thinking about these 2 days of racing, if at all?
Well, you know, my top pick for the Derby is, you know, we've talked about it already, is improbable, and the way that he ran on the slot, not too concerned. Marshall actually will explain how he feels about the Oaks Day situation, which I was actually a little bit more concerned about because I feel like I'm going to be making obviously a pretty heavy play that day. And so the conditions of that track with one of those races, including a turf race, were more important to me. So I'll let Marshall kind of give his information about Oaks Day, but I'm a little bit more excited about his prognosis there.
Yeah. So for the Oaks Day, I would fully expect the rain to rain sometime in the morning. It would end in the morning. So we'll get a pretty significant rainfall overnight, but with the rain ending probably early in the morning on Friday, it'll allow for the track to dry out. So I would fully expect the track to be pretty much dry by the first post on Friday. And the turf will obviously have some give in it, but it's not going to be the sort of mess that we had last year.
How does that change things for you, JK?
It doesn't change them at all. You know, I think that Newspaper of Record obviously has run well over a soft turf course and a soft turf course at Churchill last year in the Breeders' Cup. So, and she was extremely impressive there. So that's not a concern. McKenzie ran well enough in the slop on February 2nd when he was beaten by Battle of Midway. So I don't see any real issues there. I think my biggest concern, obviously, is what the price is going to be on that double. So I'm definitely glad it's not going to be raining all day, because that was a concern of mine. I'd rather it just be a fast, fair racetrack. And it sounds like Marshall feels like it should dry out by then. That track at Churchill, if you've ever been, I've been to, like I said, 10 derbies in a row, and I've seen all kinds of different weather conditions. If it stops raining and you can get a little bit of sunshine for a while, that track dries out faster than any track I've ever seen.
Marshall, while we have you, I did want to ask one more question about how you've ever used your weather predicting, see what I did there, weather predicting skills to aid you in your horse playing.
Well, it's certainly an advantage when it comes to big days like this, where you know when the rain will be coming in, and more importantly, when it'll be ending. So changing track conditions really can provide insight when it comes to looking at horses. And you know, in meteorology, all we do is look for patterns and look for continuous patterns that happen. So I think those analytical skills translate directly to looking at the form and trying to figure out the puzzle of horse racing in general.
Last question before we move on and get some words from the grounds at Churchill about how some of these horses are doing in the morning. Generally speaking, in your opinion, who does a better/worse job, professional handicappers or professional weather predictors?
I don't know. I feel like they're fairly one and the same at that point. There's a lot of touts out there that think that they're the best, and especially in the meteorology field, there's a lot of big heads out there, and there is nothing more humbling than trying to forecast the weather, just like it is trying to predict a horse race, and then just absolutely fall on your face with it. So I love it. I love both aspects.
Sounds like you're calling that one a dead heat. Marshall, thank you so much. We'll get you back on soon. Great speaking with you.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And now making yet another triumphant return to the In the Money media airwaves as part of this Naira Betts podcast, we have the ever popular Frank McGoey. Frank, what's going on? What are you doing right now?
I'm heading to the airport in Indiana to pick up the gang from New Orleans that's flying in private. I was on the advanced scout team. Hopefully I'll do well and I'll be on the private plane home.
Before we get started, this is an appearance I've been waiting for. You've had such success. Your brother's had such success in these live bankroll tournaments, and you've attributed a lot of it to your ability to go out and look at horses in the morning. You've been doing that this week at Churchill. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we get into that, Frank, I wanted to ask you, how was your day yesterday?
Yesterday was interesting. Yesterday was actually a derby first, the Knots. I played the late pick four from the urgent care on Preston Highway in Louisville.
How'd you end up there?
One of the guys I went on his trip had been hacking up half a lung. He kept telling me it was allergies. Finally, I said, brother, you're going to die, and I'm not going to let you die in Oaks and Dunes. We're going to emergency care now. So I brought him over there. Well, of course, we made some bets before we left the track.
Of course.
I mean, if he died while we were making the bets, so be it. But we got over there. And it wasn't bad because I had plenty of beer iced up in the van. And so I sat there in the urgent care while he was with this Indian doctor who I couldn't even read the diploma from where I graduated. I don't know. He might have been a vet, for all I know, to be honest with you.
Oh my
but
God.
Anyway, he gave him four scripts, none of which looked interesting to me, by the way. So I'm going to let him keep them all. And I took a nasty beat. I needed Corey in the second to last leg. It's 27-1, and I ironically got beat by another 27-1 to cash four pick five tickets. So it probably cost me like $10. But I had never lost a pick five at an urgent care. So there you go. There's new Derby experience.
First time for everything. Oh, that's a pretty good one. I'm glad I got
it is a good story.
To ask you about that one.
And I know where you got tipped on this because I was supposed to meet Clocker for dinner and I couldn't because of all this mess. Anyway, so be it. Let's go on a bigger and better thing.
Let's do it.
Want to know who's looking good or what I think?
This is the best thing about you. I don't even need to be here, Frank. I could just turn on a recorder, you ask the questions, and just, you know, it's like a top, but a top that you don't even have to spin. It just goes. So let's hear it, man. What have you been seeing out there?
I got to go up on, I went to the backside on Wednesday morning. And the reason I like doing this, Peter, is because we're used to watching races from home on TV, and each track has different vantage points for their cameras. You can kind of get an idea about the size of horses when they're running next to each other, but it's hard to compare them from track to track because you got different camera angles and things like that. So at a mile and a quarter, since every stride is a breath in a racehorse, I like to see who's got the longest stride when they're galloping. That'll give me an idea of who I think is going to get the distance the best. And then I also just like to see the other physicality as to, you know, who looks the best and whose coat's doing well and things like that. So that's why, I mean, I find it beneficial to be out there at least once and see them all in the flesh when they all come together at Churchill. There were a couple of things this week that stood out. There are a lot of tosses. I think horses that are just too short-bodied and won't get the mile and a quarter. There are a few horses that definitely caught the eye, one of whom obviously scratched Omaha Beach. He looked, I mean, I actually took a picture of him getting a bath the morning, yesterday morning, and then he winds up scratching, so it's ironic.
I never figured you for a bath shot guy, and now we know you're the jinx. You got a bit of the about you too.
I'm a horse peeping Tom, apparently. Yeah. Anyway, couple I caught my eye this week. Improbable looks really good. He's way more. He looks the most athletic of the bunch. He's got a. He looks like he's feeling happy. He's getting over the trick well, and he's got more scope to him than I think his breeding would suggest he would. He's got a pretty good stride on him. I was kind of surprised. I thought he looked, maybe it's just because he's so athletic looking that he looked shorter bodied on TV than when I saw him in person. So I have less concerns about him getting the distance now, and he seems to be thriving. Tacitus looks the happiest to me. He's got the longest stride of anybody in the race, and he just seemed to be bouncing. He had his ears up the whole time. He looked great. The most mature looking horse is Baffert's other horse, Game Winner. He just looks settled. I mean, he just looks like, you know, old pro. He's done it a bunch of times. A couple other ones that made favorable impressions, but, you know, I don't think they're good enough. I was surprised with Tax. Tax is a good looking horse. I mean, what a great claim that was. It was amazing. The Pletcher horse that won at Sunland, he wasn't bad looking either.
Cutting Humor?
Cutting Humor. Yep. So maybe Underneath Horses. But I'm leaning towards, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ortiz brothers run 1-2 in the Derby. I mean, I think Improbable is going to set up shop in a great place based on the draw. And I think Tacitus is really going to appreciate the distance.
Wow, those are two we've been talking about.
And my other horse, by the way, Country Star's got the look of a horse that's really going to appreciate the distance too.
Country House, you think has the look
Country
of one?
House, I bet. Yeah. He'll definitely like the mile and a quarter. I don't even know if he's going to get a trip. And I mean, I don't think he's good enough to win it. But maybe could suck up for third or something like that with the right kind of ride.
Before we let you out of here, and I certainly don't want you to give everything away, you're playing in this contest this weekend, but you do mention there were a number for you who just on body looked like they weren't going to be able to get the distance. Is there one you're comfortable in that category of volunteering?
Yeah, absolutely. So Spinoff, the one that ran second in the Louisiana Derby, and the Louisiana Derby winner, who, I mean, I hate to say this because I'm very good friends with Calhoun's assistant, and it won't bother me if they beat me, but he looks like his sire, just a shorter bodied horse. What's his name? By my standards, they just look like they're going to struggle the last eighth.
And you'll have to settle an argument between me and JK. We've been on opposite sides of Code of Honor, with me being pro and him being con. Well, I understand he's an interesting looking physical type. Where do you land with Code of Honor after watching him train?
He's like the only horse I didn't see. I missed him. I don't know how, but I know. But I know I will be using him because it's going to rain Saturday. I'll be using him in tries and supers. It's going to rain, and I liked his work at Keelan in the slop. He moves up to me on the slop.
Well, that's great info.
I'll definitely throw him underneath. I'm not going to let. I mean, yeah, Shug's not going to beat me out of a try or a super. I don't think he can run 1-2, but he can definitely fill those out.
JK, do you have one for Frank before we let him get out of here?
This is always my favorite question to ask people with great horse flesh opinions. The Derby stuff is all great info. Give me some undercards, some Oaks. Give me somebody else that you were fortunate enough to see when you were hanging out back there that got you kind of excited.
I got to see Mr. Money at the Calhoun Barn, and he looks like money. And I think he's going to get a good setup in the Fat Day Mile. I think he's a very live long shot in that race. I think he'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of 8-1. And I'll tell you this, too. This is a little home cooking. But if Stidham is making an equipment and jockey change on Synchrony, he didn't make that decision lightly. And I think that horse has a look of a horse that could upset in the turf race.
Great stuff, Frank. Thank you so
much. I give
them
both a chance.
You are a legend, an absolute legend. Thank you so much, and we will be bothering
you
again soon. You can bet.
See you out there, Frank.
See you later. All right, John.
I'll see you Friday. All right.
Bye. And now I'd like to bring in, man, we just talked about a minute ago with Frank McGowey, clocker John Nichols. John, how are you today?
I'm doing better than Frank was doing yesterday. You got that story.
We did. He told us about getting snapped out of the pick four at the urgent care. But, you know, he did have that cold bucket of beer with him. So it wasn't all was not lost. And he gets another good story to tell.
Yeah, he had a scratch on dinner last night when he told me that story. I just shook my head. It is true.
JK, I know you've got a couple of questions for John. We'll let you start this one off.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm interested in who John likes in these races. But more importantly, John, what people don't know that you're famous for is you're one of the greatest meme makers of all time. I wanted to find out what memes you've put out there in the airwaves this week, what things you're primed and ready for. I need some memes. We got to get you to tweet something. We got to get those going. It's Derby week.
Yeah, I'm thinking about one about JK with the rain coming in and everything, wearing a pair of rubber boots up to his knees with a romper on. I'm not really sure where I'm going to find to make this with yet, but I've got some ideas here. It could be a classic with the rain coming in and everything. JK and his derby romper and rubber boots.
We're rooting for you on that one. Anything else?
There's one floating around out there. I met Danny Gargan a few years ago while I was at Saratoga. And he really didn't want to speak to me. It involved him and Mini-Me, his head on a Mini-Me body. And he really got a little mad about that one.
You do have a real life connection to him.
Danny and I grew up together. He tends to tell people he was my babysitter when I was a kid. I wouldn't have made it this far if he was, probably. But he's 3 or 4 years older, and we kind of grew up together around the track. My dad and his mom and stepdad were really good friends.
Speaking of Danny Gargan, I guess it's a good transition into some real serious conversations about the Kentucky Derby. What do you think about his horse's chance, Tax? Will you be rooting for him, obviously?
It's kind of sentimental root for Danny there. I think the horse might set a good trip, and he's kind of impressed me the way he's trained lately. This gal looked like a good galloping out there every morning. Work was just okay that I saw on TV from XBTV, but the horse gallops like a good horse, and Danny's swearing he's going to be on the rail the whole way, so we'll see.
When you're looking over the race in general, John, of all the horses you've seen this week, is there a standout or two? I mean, looking through social media, it feels like a year where you got a lot more horses training well than training poorly. Where's your eye been drawn?
Yeah, I'm kind of going over everything again now. I'm so hung up on Omaha Beach, so now I'm just processing everything over again. So, of course, I talked to you last week. I talked about how good, by my standards, I thought was training. I think he's doing very well. War of Wolves, he's going better than I thought he did at Keeneland when I saw him up there. It's not crazy about the one hole, of course. I think I'll have to send him, but I really like the way Improbable looked this morning. He looks like he's the kind of horse that can handle the mud. You got City Zip out of the 18 to Merritt's mud on mud. And confirmation-wise, he's got the little short pasterns and look like he's got a smaller foot on him. And looks like the kind of horse that handle the slops, so. I'm probably going to end up on Keenan Probable first and second.
You've tipped your hand to this answer, and we were just talking about it with Frank McGowey as well. My hesitation about him all along, just looking at some pace figure things, and of course City Zip on the top, was the extra distance for him. When we heard from Frank earlier, it sounded like physically he more resembles the Dam side, the AP Indy side, than the City Zip side. Do you have any concerns about him and the distance?
Now, you always got to worry about looking at a City Zip going a mile and a quarter, but He'll get plenty of stamina from the AP Indy mare, I believe. I mean, AP Indy probably would have won the Derby that year if he hadn't got hurt. Turned out to be the best of that generation that year.
I thought about him yesterday with the Omaha Beach scratch. Isn't that sort of what happened with AP Indy? Wasn't it right before the Derby? And then obviously AP Indy went on to be AP Indy. It gave me hope yet for Omaha Beach.
Yeah, I think it was, he might have had a quarter crack or a foot abscess. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Some kind of foot issue. That's one thing I've heard people talk about AP Indy. As a stallion, he kind of passed that on, some feet issues with some of the horses.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you have any concerns about Omaha Beach going forward? Any insight into what was going on there? There's a lot of rumors flying around.
They said entrapped epiglottis. Of course, after the fact, it came out yesterday. Had a couple of people tell me they could hear him when he was galloping out the other day. On the backside, they were back by the three-quarter pole, could hear him making a little bit of noise, but couldn't really hear much coming by when he went under me at the wire. A lot of horses get it done. You just don't hear anything about it. I mean, it's just one of those things. They just give him 3 weeks off from training once he has a surgery, and most of them come back okay as long as there's no paralysis in the throat, which is one thing you always worry about.
He's clearly in the right hands to get good care, and hopefully we'll see him to his best effect later in the season.
John, one of my favorite conversations we've had from time to time is obviously you got a great eye for who's doing good, but you also got a great eye for who's doing bad, and not necessarily bad, but horses that you feel like you don't really need to include in all your gimmicks and plays. Who are some of those horses that you think will run on Saturday in the Derby?
Some of the ones you think might go. I don't really care for the way they're looking.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Great Magician was really lathered up in his gallop yesterday morning. Didn't care for that. Maximum Security in the print doesn't have the prettiest way of moving, but when he runs fast though. So, I mean, it looks like he's better. One of those horses, they don't move that well in the morning, but when they come in the afternoon, they're full speed. They go a lot better, but, so those are the only two I've really could really say some about. The rumor going around, Heifel got a foot abscess, possible scratch. Came out this morning. He didn't train this morning. That's Thursday morning we're recording this, and so that's possible if he's there. Other than that, I wasn't really Master Fencer. I wasn't really impressed with him at all physically. Not really a fan of Roadster as well. I'm just not really sold on him. I think he's going to be overbet. And that's about it, really.
We have to ask you about one that Frank didn't see that's been a subject of debate for weeks on the podcast, John, between me and JK. Code of Honor, are you for or against?
If it's sloppy, I think he moves way up in the slop. He broke his maiden on a wet fast track at Saratoga first out, but confirmation-wise, he looks like the kind of horse that will enjoy the slop or a mud. He worked in the slop at Keelan on April 20th, and my comment was love slop. So I think he moves way up and off track.
We started the show today with our own personal degenerate weatherman, John, and it sure sounds like it's going to be slop. So we'll keep an eye out for that, but we appreciate you weighing in on Code of Honor and all these runners. JK, we want to ask the same question you asked Frank about other races?
Yeah, obviously, John, love your opinion of any horses that you might like kind of in the underneath and the undercards on Saturday and Friday. And then also wanted to get your thoughts on Bellafina. I've heard a lot of people talk about how she hadn't had the prettiest way of going. I know you saw her last year at Breeders' Cup when she was at Churchill Downs. I wanted to see what your opinion was on her and if you have any horses that you're interested in underneath.
I don't really care the way she goes or anything, but they say she always goes like that in California. From what I've seen in XBTV, her gals out there, she's not the smoothest way going, but I'm totally against her on that price. She just hadn't faced really that much in California, I don't think. It hadn't faced any adversity with gets everything her own way and shorter fields. And I'm going to be against her at that price in there.
And as for some of the races on the undercard, either day, but especially Derby Day, anything that's catching your eye where that you're willing to give away here?
I'm actually just starting on Derby Day right now. It's a little behind. Let me see. On Friday, in the fourth race, the Split the Wickets really worked well the other day, I thought, and move up on the grass. But Giovanni, I have an Archmare. This first, I don't know if he's good enough to win there, but I think he can move up on the grass at a big price and fill out some exotics. Fifth race, 8 Bells, break evens, train forwardly. Mother's worked okay at Churchill. Was on the dead rail that day at Keeneland, where you didn't want to be in the swap that day. Now she's drawn outside. I think those are the two horses you kind of key on there. And if Queen of Bees is okay, has been looking okay in the mornings here too, galloping. There's a sixth race.
Keep it coming.
Wayne Catalano swears he's going to be Chad Brown with Winter Sunset. After her last two works, he's texted me for his fraction. I sent him back to me. He says, bring on Chad Brown. He said, we'll get a price on this filly. I was like, okay, Wayne. That's all I had to say. But that's an interesting race there. She wins there, might blow up JK's derby contest. So
it sure would.
Tough to tell. I think that could be a cul-de-sac there, 1-3 myself. Seventh race, that's McKenzie's work the other day was really good. Galloped out strong. Tom Giatat's work that this past weekend was really good. Silver Dust is going training right along. That's a tough race right there. I think McKenzie is the horse to beat, of course, but I think there's three or four of them in there could actually fill out the try and exact. It's not really crazy about anything in the Florida Lee. I think that's a pretty tough race. In the ninth race, I've been impressed by American Tattoo's works from Palm Beach Downs on XBTV. And the Oaks, I'm seeing one champagne anyone. Everything's going to be keyed on her going into the Derby.
Nice.
I'll be playing Oaks Derby doubles with five or six horses, a little bigger with Improbable and Code of Honor. Then I'll probably end up using Tax a little. Who else in there? Tax, By My Standards. Cutty Numerous, one of my bombs of the day in the race. I think like the way the horse is trained. And I think with Corey on him, he'll end up finding the inside sometime where you probably want to be if it's sloppy. But I think he could be the like 40 or 50 to one shot. Everybody might be shaking their head if he runs third or fourth in their super or try.
Great stuff, John. I want to ask about one more specific horse we've had a little bit of back and forth about. What do you think of the chances of Flor de la Mar, and would you be opposed if the track does, in fact, come up wet?
Her works were in California. I've watched it. Never really impressed me a whole lot. She's kind of a big, she's got a little size to her, and I'm not sure how much she'll care for an off track. I mean, her worst race she had was on an off track in California. I think Jaywalk's training better than she was at Keeneland. I saw her up there before that last race. Really didn't care for her work at Keeneland before the Ashland. She just wasn't really happy, it looked like. It looked like her coat looks better now. She's dappled out a little more, carrying a little better flesh. She's not a big filly. She's the one that could really like the mud. She's one for one in it. She broke her maiden, or won her second start, broke her maiden at Parks. Seven in the mud, so she's one that can move up in an off track.
Excellent stuff, John. We're going to let you get some rest. We know you've been going crazy getting so much work done. How many horses do you think you clocked this week?
Ooh, I hadn't been too busy the last few days. At least 500 to 600 since last Friday, I guess.
Sounds like a pretty busy week to me, John. Thank you for the time today, and we will catch up with you very soon. All right, now we're going to move on to the final portion of today's show. We're going to talk a little bit about this Belmont Pick 5. But first, JK, I want to talk to you about what we just heard from Frank McGowey and clocker John Nichols. I think there's a case to be made that I should now be wholly convinced in your horse, Improbable, and that you should be wholly convinced in my horse, Code of Honor. What say you?
You know I'm too stubborn for that.
You just heard four people whose opinion you respect talk about this horse, and yet you're still not on board.
PTF, you know I'm entirely too stubborn for that.
And, of course, in the four people, I didn't even include myself, so there you go. All right, any other big takeaways for you? I mean, there was some pretty interesting information there, an anti-opinion on Roadster. That's the kind of thing somebody might be able to make some money off of.
Well, there's a couple of things. To your earlier point, you know, Code of Honor is the type that can be a third or fourth type for me underneath. And he's also a horse that I could consider using in second and exactas with Improbable. I won't ever move him up to win. I just don't like the horse based off of a lot of things we've talked about in previous shows. The things that stick out to me are I love nothing more than when people that I respect when it comes to their opinion on horse flesh and handicapping confirm an idea that I already had. Roadster was a horse that I wanted to kind of push back and fade a little bit. Loved hearing that from JTC, John the Clocker. Loved hearing Frank's opinion about Spinoff and By My Standards. Horses that I will still consider and use, but horses that I don't need to worry as much about beating my top pick and Improbable. They'll definitely be underneath uses for me. I still think the Louisiana Derby was extremely fast. Look, talking to guys like John and Frank were remind me of conversations I had early in my horse playing career, that this is a game that there's angles out there that you can be successful at, and sharp guys like that pointing them out gives me a lot of confidence going into Saturday.
I might call this the Derby Final Answers Pod, and that ties in nicely to this promotion that Naira Bets have going into this weekend. I won't read the promo code here. You're going to hear that before and after this show. But the promo itself, JK, you can make a $25 win bet, and if the horse runs second or third, you get that money back. So let's each pick ours. I think everybody knows by now, but again, this is final answer time. If you have any regrets, if you have any second thoughts, you can change it. Your final answer, who would you make that $25 free bet via Naira Bets with?
I'd bet it on Improbable, and then when I win, I'd run it back on the on the late pick five on Sunday at Belmont. Boom, bam.
My final answer, I'm going to bet that $25 from Naira Bets. And funny enough, it was almost faded. I had never signed up for my own Naira Bets account until now. I'm actually going to do so later today. I'm going to use that promo code, money25, and I'm going to bet that on Tacitus to be eligible for that promotion. And with that, let's get in very quickly, JK, to this late pick five on Saturday. With all the time between races, it really is something horse players should be paying attention to. Obviously, with the Derby, as we said, taking up all the oxygen, we just don't need to spend that much time on it. But let's go ahead. It starts off with this maiden race, race 8. I thought Step to the Bank had a chance to lead them on a merry chase from there, drawn down inside with good early speed. How do you see it?
Well, first of all, I want to give everybody a cheat code here. The late pick 5 at Belmont on Saturday starts in between race 9 and 10 at Churchill, right after the American Turf and right before the Pat Day Mile. So you can jump over there real quick and get that bet in. This is a tough race for me, and I'm going to spread a little bit because I've got some stronger opinions later. It's kind of a hunch play here with all these money names in here. Step to the Bank, Financial Stability, Invest, Papa Jim. I don't know if you have an Uncle Jim who has some money. Maybe that can be applied there. Those are all horses that caught my attention that, you know, some of these are cutting back. They're going to be going 6. Papa Jim and Invest both ran in a mile last time but had nice figures at that 6-furlong call. I think that those are obviously live. Financial Stability for Chad Brown. And I'm actually looking at older PPs that don't even have the owner name in here, but I guarantee Financial Stability is Clarovich Stables. Chad always has good horses running for them and wants to debut and win good races on big days. And then Step to the Bank, the horse you mentioned, has some nice 6-furlong pace figures. Those are the ones I'm going to use. The rest that I've already run didn't really impress me. Maybe a little Deputy Flag. Like I said, I've got 2 singles later in the card, so I can spread in this first leg.
Race 9 for me, I was going to take a shot at a speed play again. This time, Oh My Papa was the horse I was going to take a long look at. This discreet cat colt seemed to me to have a chance to just have a real nice head start in the 7-furlong turf sprint. What do you think?
We talked about on our previous edition of the Naira Bets Late Pick 5 show that the 7-furlongs on the turf are types of races that I think horses with great late pace figures do well in. Often in these races, though, it looks as if something might be loose on the lead, and Oh My Papa, your horse that you talked about, looks like he might be that horse. Normally, I would try to get away from that, but here's one thing that we don't know about Oh My Papa. We don't know how he's going to handle the turf, and maybe he will finish with some late pace. Tom Morley has done a great job with turf horses, so Oh My Papa is one that I'll use, but I'm also going to use Nuts and Bolts, who has a nice late figure. Has run at 7 furlongs before and has run well. He's hit the board a few times here at Belmont on this trip. And then also Mango M is another one with some late pace figures. He'll be cutting back from the mile and mile and 16th races, but has hit the exacta in a 6-furlong race. So obviously the sprinting won't be an issue for him. Those are the 3 that I'm going to use in this spot to try to get loose. I think we're going to dodge the weather on Saturday. So the MTOs as of right now aren't going to be something we need to worry about.
Speaking of the weather. Belmont, great place to be potentially on Saturday. A couple of graded stakes, including the Fort Marcy, which we'll get into in a second, and also the Westchester. But if you're not going to get out to Belmont itself, you should definitely come to my Derby party at Treadwell Park West on 42nd Street. You'll be able to sign up for a Naira Bets account on the spot, as it turns out, through the Naira app. Apparently, it could be funded within minutes. You can get betting there. We're also going to have some raffles, like sort of think Super Bowl Square style, with money going to charity. That's going to be a lot of fun. Food and drink specials, music, basically all the good stuff. Want to encourage folks to come and see me there. And of course, if you're a listener, find me. I think I'm going to be suited up. I'm going to be dressed nicely. I'm about to go get a new hat from my friends at Gorin Brothers, JK. I'm going to be styling it out. Come say hello at Treadwell Park on Saturday if you can't get to Belmont or can't get down to the Derby itself like you, JK. Race 10 is the Fort Marcy, grade 3 on the turf. Who's your pick, Jonathan?
I'm ice cold here to Robert Bruce. Robert Bruce was 8-5 in this race last year. Robert Bruce won the Arlington Million. Robert Bruce was even money in a grade one at Belmont, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, going a mile and a half. And he also, if you check out XBTV, one of my favorite things to do is watch these workout reports. Check out Robert Bruce's work. I believe it was two back. And he worked with a horse who's going to be favored Derby Day at Churchill Downs in a million-dollar race, and that's Bricks and Mortar. He's also a horse that won a, $5-6 million race at Gulfstream earlier in the year. Take a look at that workout at Robert Bruce, and you'll understand why I singled. I thought he was going much better than Bricks and Mortar there. I think he's sitting on a big race. Gets Jose Lescano with IRAD being out of town. I think he'll be tough here.
You've made my job so easy, JK, because I see the obvious attributes in Robert Bruce. But now that I know that you're singled, and knowing your history on Derby Day the last 2 years in turf races where there were sons of the broodmare Unbridled Empire, I'm now going to single too, and I'm going to single Maraud. Maraud, who himself knocked us out of some stuff, was that last year or 2 years ago? And then, of course, Arklow, who knocked us out of everything on a day. Both sons of Unbridled Empire. Very, very easy now. It's Maraud for me. How can you buck that horse? Don't you have to have a little bit going through Maraud after what this family has done to us?
I'm trying to break the curse. There's a lot of women in this world. A lot of women in this world that have let me down. A lot of women that have made me angry. None more so than the Empire Maker Filly, Unbridled Empire, who is the producer of Maraud, the producer of Arklow. She owes me some money.
Oh, my God. Come on. You're much too much of a sharp player to ever say that a horse owes you money. Horses owe us nothing, my friend.
No, this one's not a racehorse. I just want the mom to pay for what the kids have done to me. That's easy. We see that all the time. If a kid breaks your window at your house, we'll talk to the mom and see if you can't get reimbursed.
This therapy session, folks, has been brought to you by our friends at Naira Bets. There you have it. Some want to break the wheel. JK wants to break the curse. However you spin it, let's move on to the Westchester. We're talking about a grade three on the dirt. And the horse who caught my eye here, JK, was Realm, who I was thinking had a chance to run a lot better. I feel like taken out of the game last time, trying to close into blue fractions, two back. I think we might see a little bit better in what's really the second start off the layoff here for Realm. What do you think?
Can't talk you off that one, but I'm going to try my hardest to. Look, I love Prince of Lucky on the outside. The figure was a little bit slower last time, but keep in mind, he was 20 cents on the dollar. He's 1-5 that day. He was running in a 4 or 5 horse field. I mean, he had no excuse. So he was ridden kind of weird. It was a slow pace. He sat on the lead. He drew away. Take a step back to the race prior to that when he ran in the House Hope. That's the race that makes me want to single him here. I think he's a very, very talented horse. No introduction needed for Todd Pletcher. He gets Joe Bravo with Johnny V out of town. I think Prince Lucky is easy. I'm going to go back-to-back singles in the middle of this pick five sequence.
Well, I wasn't necessarily saying single, so I'll definitely use yours. Let's move on to the 12th race. I know you had a point you wanted to make about jockeys and spreading in here, but since you're spreading and I'm going narrow, or at least I have a stronger top opinion, I'll go first. And I'm going to go first with First Forever for Linda Rice. I just thought this horse looked like the best of the speed, and I thought she being outside the other speed, that could be a tactical advantage. Love with these cheaper horses to just sort of handicap the race to the pace call and let the chips fall where they may. But I'm really interested to hear your points here about not only this race, but a general point about these big days when a lot of the top riders are out of town.
Right, and this is comment is not an offense comment. I think it's just a lot of people will agree. There's like A level jockeys, B level jockeys, and C level jockeys, and I don't mean it as their talent, but just how they're perceived by their trainers and by connections. How many times they're riding a day, how many purses they're winning, how many wins they're getting, their win percentage. It's all, you know, it's all relative, but at the same time, you know, you got to start somewhere. The A guys are all out of town. Irad, Jose, Javier, Johnny, they're out of town. The B guys, they're still here. You know, you're going to get an Eric Cancel, a Raylu Gutierrez, a young guy sliding into that B. Jose Lascano, Kendrick Carmouche, Adam Biskitza, who a lot of people from New York might not be familiar with. He's done some really good things at Fairgrounds and in Kentucky. Dylan Davis, Joe Bravo. And then there's the C guys, the lower level guys that are just getting started in their careers. I think the gap between A and B is not that significant. I do think the gap between B and C is significant. And I have a bunch of friends that are jockeys agents, and I can imagine how these phone calls took place, knowing all the big guys were out. I'm going to follow all of the B riders that I named and use those horses, because this is a very tough race to figure out with these maiden horses, and horses are dropping and horses aren't bent and they're running well. I think Little Big Risk with Eric Cancel is what I'd want to use. Charming Cara for Raylu Gutierrez. First Forever with Jose Lascano. I mentioned Kendrick Carmouche, who's one of my favorite riders who gets horses into races, especially these young horses, Miss Ross, Adam Biskitza. There's a bunch of horses in here. I would use as many as you absolutely could, and that's what I'll be doing with my two singles leading into this race.
Do you mind if I just troll you horribly, absolutely setting you up to fail here for a second?
Yeah, because I have a feeling that I'm feeling good today. I have a feeling that I'm gonna ruin your joke and get it right.
All right. The name of Adam Biskitza's mount in the pay leg of the Naira Betts Late Pick 5 on Saturday.
I thought about trying to Google it really fast, but I didn't have time. I'm gonna go with the silent C and go with Hallamandelli.
Chomley, my friend. And I only know that, I'll be honest with you, I only know that because when I was on Sky Sports Racing the other night, I was sitting with, I think it was my friend Kieran O'Sullivan who pointed that out to me. Or I'm not sure if it was Kieran. I work with so many great presenters over there. One of the other presenters was like, oh, it'll be interesting if the caller gets this right. And of course, Johnny I absolutely nailed it. But anyway, I just was being cheeky there. And I think we should wrap, man. People have they've got their own handicapping to do. They've got a lot of great content to read. Check it out, inthemoneypodcast.com. I realize I wanted to give out Marshall Sterling's Twitter handle because he's going to be posting weather updates over the course of the next few days. So that should be a great follow. JK, do you have that handy?
I believe I do. I think it's I actually ended up searching something else, but I'm going to have it in about 12 seconds. This is something, if you don't listen to the show very often, that I do. I just talk and say words that don't matter while I'm looking up things that I need to answer. It is at grade one or at G1 handicapping, at G1 handicapping. And Marshall has he's going to be doing a lot of weather updates. He is a weatherman by trade. He's got his master's degree in weather. He can tell you which way forest fires are going. So he can definitely tell you which way the rain's coming on Derby Day.
Love it. And with that, I'm going to thank you, JK. We're going to thank Marshall Sterling. We're going to thank Frank McGowey. We're going to thank Clocker John Nichols. But most of all, we're going to thank all of you for listening and checking out all of the great Derby content in the feed and supporting us by signing up for Naira Betts using the promo codes you can hear at the beginning and end of the show. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your Oaks and Derby photos. And it's a run for the roses, as fast as you can. Your fate is delivered, your moment's at hand. This year's Kentucky Derby is wide open, and there's lots of money to be made. One place you must bet the Derby is with Naira Bets. Naira Bets is giving new players a free $25 Derby win bet. If your horse gets second or third, you get your cash back. Don't miss this limited free $25 bet offer from Naira Bets. Sign up today with the promo code MONEY25 at NairaBets.com and get your free $25 Derby bet today. If you want to have some help signing up for your Naira Bets account and you can't get to the track, come see me, Peter Thomas Fornatale, hosting this Derby party at Treadwell Park West on 42nd Street in Manhattan on Saturday. We start at about 2 o'clock. Come on by. It's sponsored by Naira Bets and NairaBets.com. Marshall, while we have you, I'm just curious if you have any stories for us about how you've used your meteorology skills. I used the wrong word there. I'll edit that. How you've used your meteorology. Oh my gosh, I can't say the word.